So this is Genesis 24. Now Abraham was now old and getting on in years, and the Lord had blessed him in everything. Abraham said to his servant, the elder of his household, who managed all he owned, "Place your hand under my thigh, and I will have you swear by the Lord, God of heaven and God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but will go to my land and my family to take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Suppose the woman is unwilling to follow me to this land. Should I have your son go back to the land you came from?" Abraham answered him, "Make sure that you don't take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from my native land, who spoke to me and swore to me, 'I will give this land to your offspring,' he will send his angel before you, and you can take a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to follow you, then you're free of this oath to me, and you don't let my, but don't let my son go back there." So the servant placed his hand under his master Abraham's thigh and swore on an oath to him concerning this matter. The servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed with all kinds of master's goods in his hand. And he set out for Nahor's town, Aram Naharam. He made the camels kneel beside a well of water outside the town at evening. This was the time when the women went down to draw water. And before he had finished speaking, there was Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the son of Abraham's brother, Nahor, coming with a jug on her shoulder. Now the girl was very beautiful, a young woman who had not known a man intimately, and she'd gone down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up. And when the servant ran to meet her, and said, "Please let me have a little water from your jug," she replied, "Drink, my lord." She quickly lowered her jug to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she'd finished drinking, giving him a drink, she said, "I'll also draw water for your camels until they have had enough to drink." She quickly emptied her jug into the trough and hurried to the well again to draw water. She drew water for all his camels, while the man silently watched her to see whether or not the Lord had made his journey a success. But after the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel, and for her wrist, two bracelets weighing 10 shekels of gold. "Whose daughter are you?" he asked. "Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I'm the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She also said to him, "We have plenty of straw and feed and a place to spend the night." When the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord and said, "Praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not withheld his kindness and faithfulness from my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." Wow. Well, looking back at the previous events, we can see that Abraham was given a promise for a son, Isaac, and that his descendants would be greater than the stars in the heaven and the sand on shore. We also see that God has blessed Abraham in all things. So it was important to Abraham for the promise to be fulfilled, because Isaac was getting on. He's now 40 years old, and he needed a wife. Abraham had asked his longtime servant to make an oath to find a bride in Mesopotamia, some 400 miles away. The servant was very trusted, and he honored Abraham with service for many years, but he was a little concerned. The servant did not want to displease his master, and he asked, "But what if she doesn't want to come to Canaan?" So Abraham reassures him that if it didn't come to pass, he'd release him from his vow. But to reassure him, he told him that an angel will go before him. I find this fascinating, because you only hear it at the beginning that an angel is going to go with him. You don't hear it once he gets to the well that the angel is still there. So his job was just to get him there. 400 miles, he's the map leader. Now, the faith will come in later for the old servant. So now the commission begins. He needs to pack special items that Abraham has requested. He has to get 10 of his best camels. He's going to take all his master's goods that he possibly can pack up. He had to pack water for the camels, as well as gold, food, and our favorite, jewelry. The camels could go 100 miles without water, but they needed a lot of water to be replenished by the time they got to Mesopotamia. So he heads out for this 400-mile journey with the camels, and it took 21 days. Notice the angel guiding him? He's still guiding him. When the servant finally arrives to Mesopotamia, he prays. This undertaking is a very important and heavy burden for this servant, so he needs God's help. I love that he doesn't take it for granted, that just because he was found the town, he still has to find the right bride. So he prays a specific prayer about the future wife of Isaac to identify her. Lord God, my master Abraham, he prayed, give me success today. Show kindness to my master Abraham. I'm standing here at the spring where the daughters of the men in the town are coming out to draw water. Let the girl to whom I say, please lower your water jug so that I may drink, and who responds, drink and I'll water your camels also. Let her be the one you've appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I'll know that you've shown kindness to my master. And before he was done praying, there was Rebecca. Rebecca was gorgeous, inside and out, a beautiful young lady. She's young, she's a virgin, and she was super strong. I mean, really strong. So the servant runs over to her and asks her for a drink from his jug, and she gives it to him. Now, mind you, this is a stranger. How trusting she is. I love this. Yet she's so compassionate and willing to help him. So before he finishes even drinking his water, says, oh, I'll draw the water for the camels. That was something. Because the water to get these guys all, you know, sustained was over 300 gallons of water. So imagine, the jug that was on her shoulder was probably about this big, and she's going over to the trough, and she's lifting it up and dumping it, lifting it up and dumping it, and everybody's going to drink. And it's heavy labor. So you know she was buff. You know she was strong. And I really imagine that she loved animals. Because camels are not usually the sweetest things, right? But she thought so. So the servant is watching to see whether or not the Lord had made this journey a success. And he gives her a golden nose ring and two big gold bracelets that weighed 10 shekels. Now, I looked this up. I had to know how much the jewelry weighed. The nose ring's about a pound. But the ones on the arm are 5 pounds of gold each. So can you imagine when he pulled that out and showed it to her? She's going, hot dog. Oh, look at what I, just for watering some camels? Yes, right? So then the big question comes, the very big question, and the servant asks, whose daughter are you? And is there room in your house for us to spend the night? Again, she does not know this man, but she says, oh, yeah. She tells him that she's the daughter of Bethuel, and her grandparents are Milcah and Nahor. Well, what's really amazing about that is those are Abraham's family, direct descendants, just who is supposed to go and see, directed by God. And then she says, yeah, we have plenty of straw and feed to place for you for the spending of the night. Please come on in. So there's the confirmation. She's the one. I think we should applaud. Yay, she's the one. She gives him water, waters the camels, offers him a place to stay with her family. And oh, by the way, she's got the family name that Abraham was asking for. And the servant was in awe that God had begun to work before he even finished his prayer. God hears our thoughts before we even speak. Isaiah 65:24. Here's some other verses to encourage you. If you're in a prayer place right now where you're waiting, that God does answer us. He hears us. I want you to know he hears you. John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not only is he hearing us, he delights in hearing us. He delights in wanting to hear you speak to him. He's waiting. Every day, every moment, will she come and talk to me? The servant responds knowing that God has answered all his prayers, and he is privy to Abraham's promises. He's heard all the promises since the beginning. Mind you, this is a very old servant, someone who's been in his, you know, his commission for many, many years. So he knows what Abraham is looking for. And he rejoices in how God has also answered Abraham's prayers. So what does he do? He bows down and he worships God. Have you ever done that when God answered something, maybe small or big, and you just went, wow, thank you, God. And you just go, wow, look what you did. And God is saying, yes, I had it all along in mind. Isn't that wonderful? So he bows down, he worships God, he praises the Lord, the God of his master Abraham, who is not withheld his kindness and faithfulness from my master. He sees that God is faithful in his promise to Abraham. And then he adds, and this is the personal part that's so sweet, as for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. And he reflects on God's faithfulness, not just to Abraham, but to himself personally. I really like this guy. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. Sounds so wonderful. Step by step, God has kept his promise to the servant to help him find the bride for Isaac with the right family. He apprehended the faithfulness of God, his perfect plan, and that he's worthy to be trusted. God leads us just like the servant, step by step. He desires only good things, and he is kind and faithful. Have we asked God to lead us? Do we find out his plan rather than say, bless my plans, Lord? Do we seek his guidance? So these verses are precious to me, and they were the ones that I first, as a Christian, loved. And maybe that's something we need to be reminded of, is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. I love that. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. He directs us. Psalm 37:23-24, the Lord make firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. In Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The qualities of the old servant were obedience, prayer, and worship. So when we pray and God answers our prayers and guides us, what is our reaction? Are we dumbstruck? We're overjoyed? Our reaction when God answers prayer is joy and thankfulness and worship. I love that once confirmation came that the servant had found the bride for Isaac, he stopped right at that moment and fell down and worshiped God. What a great example for us. Now from Genesis 24, we can see that God looks at each of us like Rebecca. After all, we're part of the great promise too. Just like Rebecca was a bride of a promise, we too are part of an incredible promise that are called the bride of Christ. Our God is the creator of romance. Look at the stories of romance such as Ruth and Esther, and one of my favorites, Abigail, 1 Samuel 25, if you want to look her up later, it's worth it. Revelation 19:7-9, let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. How is the bride of the Lamb described? She's ready. She's dressed in fine linen, bright and pure, that represents the righteous deeds of the saints. God will keep his word because he's true. We will be part of the marriage of the Lamb, and we will worship and celebrate God's faithfulness to have kept his promises, just as he did to Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, and the trusted old servant of Abraham. God leads us, he guides us, he's always there to comfort and assure us. He hears us before we speak. He is our King of Kings, majesty and true creator of romance. May we be encouraged to look for his promises. May we pray, rejoice in his answer, and worship our Emmanuel, God, with us. Let's pray. Whew. God, we just thank you for your love, your passion for us, your willingness to do everything. You moved heaven and earth aside to love us. You died for us, and you gave us a relationship. And even more exciting is you've called us to be the bride of Christ. Our best possibilities in the future are coming, and we are overjoyed. We worship and thank you for it. We ask, God, that you fill our hearts. For some that might need to be refreshed tonight, would you flood them tonight with the knowledge that you hear us when we pray? Maybe there's some in here tonight that they feel that you're far away, but you're not. You hear everything. You're waiting for us, Lord, to talk to you, and you want to speak to us. So may your word go out abundantly as the ladies go into their study tonight. May they be overwhelmed with your love and just bless them abundantly. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.